Hello, everybody. It's Sam from Financial Samurai. And in this episode, we're going to talk about getting rich and what it takes to get rich. So I've been reading a lot of baby books recently because I'm a newly minted father who has no experience on being a father. So all I can really do is talk to as many parents as possible and also get some feedback from readers and read books. And one of the books I read was called Brain Rules for Babies: How to Raise a Smart and Happy Child from 0 to 5. And that 0 to 5 age is pretty important because I wrote in a previous article how you just have to give up your career really for 5 years because the baby finally becomes a toddler and goes to kindergarten at age 5. So you don't have to give up your entire career forever. It's just the first 5 years. So anyway, in the book, it highlights a really interesting study in the 1960s by Columbia University psychologist Walter Mischel, who conducted an experiment on children that is now often referred to as the marshmallow test. Walter invited various age children into a room individually and asked them to sit down in front of a table with one marshmallow. He told the child that he could eat the marshmallow right now if he wanted, but if he waited for just 5 minutes, he would return with another marshmallow and the preschooler could eat two. And in the post, I have a video that highlights the very delightful reactions these kids display as they try their best not to eat the marshmallow. What Walter observed is that kindergartners, those ages around 5 to 6, 72% caved in and ate the marshmallow. If they're in the fourth grade, however, only 49% yielded to temptation, and by the sixth grade, that percentage dropped to 38%. Now, what it doesn't say is what that percentage is among adults, but I bet there's a strong correlation with those adults who eat the first marshmallow and those who don't display strong willpower and wealth as a result. Walter also discovered in subsequent studies that children who delayed gratification by 15 minutes scored 210 points higher on their SATs than children who lasted just 1 minute. And even more importantly, children who were able to demonstrate self-control and willpower have a higher executive function, which is responsible for controlling planning, foresight, problem solving, and goal setting. So his study really made me think, why are some people so good at managing their money, investing, and saving, and why other people are not? And is this type of self-control teachable? I think it is by reading, by seeing other people do it, and by just learning in general and practicing. So I wanted to highlight 3 examples of where I see very little self-control among people who want to be wealthier but who are not. So number one is the automobile. Classic example of spending money on a new car you don't need. The median price for a new car is around $34,000. $34,000 is equal to roughly the median income per person in America after tax. So you're going to spend 100% of your after-tax median income on a car? I mean, that's just outrageous. Yet Americans are spending like no tomorrow on the latest and greatest vehicles. As soon as I graduated from college in 1999, the first thing I did was buy a car in Manhattan, of all places. After I bought a car, I then bought a racing bike. Talk about wasteful spending after all those years of having no money. And I think I did so because nobody sat down with me and said, hey, if you invest your money wisely, you can have X in the future. So I said, hey, I'm just going to spend my money because I'm working hard and these are the things that I've always wanted ever since I was in high school and I couldn't afford it. I should have just stuck to the subway. So after realizing the error of my ways, I came up with the 1/10th rule for car buying to encourage folks to either buy a cheaper car or make lots more money if they want that car. And what I found was that if you are able to finally make 10 times more than the value of the car you've been eyeing, you tend not to want to spend so much on a car anymore because you realize how much effort and taxes it takes to get there. Years later, after I published the post, readers are still commenting, justifying their reasons to me for spending more than 1/10th their annual income on their current car. They talk about bad public transportation, the need for safety, you only live once, and so forth. And those are fine reasons, but I'm just saying, if you had invested that money in the market, in the stock market, or in real estate over the past 5 to 10 years, you would be much, much wealthier, and you could probably retire much, much earlier as a result. 2, a home. Everybody knows that real estate has been one of the easiest ways to build wealth since the founding of our country in 1776, since everybody has taken American history in high school. Just do the math, folks. A 10% increase in a $500,000 home would require someone earning $50,000 a year to save an impossible 100% of their gross salary just to stay even. It's impossible because he has to pay taxes. Therefore, it's only logical to try and buy real estate as young as you possibly can. After you do the math, after you know that you want to live in that place for at least 5 to 10 years, to prevent yourself from getting left behind. The desire to own real estate is why I lived so spartanly for the first 4 years after college. But I knew that buying in an expensive city like New York or San Francisco would require a lot of sacrifice. I didn't have the bank of mom and dad to lend me a down payment, so I lived in a studio with another guy for a couple years instead in order to save 50% plus of my after-tax salary. So the 20-something and early 30-year-old folks today who've bought their first homes all either lived at home with their parents after school, took on side jobs to make more money, saved like crazy, lived like monks, or figured out a way to convince their parents to hook them up. Now, that is obviously a trend that is growing as our parents are getting wealthier and wealthier because they are the wealthiest generation after all, with stocks and real estate at all-time highs. But if you've been spending money on fabulous vacations, going out to the finest restaurants, renting your own apartment instead of renting a room, and insisting on buying your first property in the best neighborhood possible, you're likely going to have a very difficult time getting neutral real estate. I really think if people are very honest with themselves and their finances, they could do better with more self-control with their spending. And finally, let's talk about building a business, specifically an online business. Do you know why most businesses fail after 5 years? It's because most people don't bother to grind for more than 5 years. Too many businesses shut down right before things start getting good. For example, did you know that it takes 2 years for an article to be ranked on the front page of Google sometimes? Yet many sites run out of publishing steam after year two. It's always something that comes up, whether it's work, a baby, relocation, whatever. I've heard all the excuses and I've had all the excuses, yet I continued to grind. I told myself before starting Financial Samurai that I would publish 3 times a week for at least 5 years, no matter what. And if after 5 years I saw no progress, then I would consider shutting down the site. But after 5 years, there was progress, and even if there was little progress, it didn't really matter because it cost so little to keep the site up. Willpower means working for a couple hours on your side hustle before going to work at 7:30 a.m. for years instead of sleeping in. Self-control means not spending 3 hours watching an NFL game or going down a social media rabbit hole and producing some work instead with that time. Do this for at least 3 years and I am sure that you'll be amazed at what you can produce and you'll probably make a livable income stream. And if you're living in a low-cost area, or if you have a low salary, that actually behooves you to start an online business even more because your hurdle is that much lower to jump over. Look, at some point, we've got to figure out when it's time to let go and live it up. We can't delay gratification forever since we can't live forever. Therefore, I believe the time to start letting loose is after we've put in at least 10 years of intense work. And intense work to me means doing something or giving 50% more effort than normal. For example, if the typical person works 40 hours a week, then it's 60 hours a week of work for you. After 10 years of intense work, you will have much more wealth and many more options to live your ideal lifestyle than if you just did the average. When my son gets older, I hope I can instill in him delayed gratification, willpower, and self-control. I'll probably do the marshmallow test on him as well and see how well he does. And if he does poorly, I'll explain to him why he should wait. 2 is better than 1 generally, so I think explanation and teaching and guidance should really help over the long term. So I'd love to hear from you. What are some of the things you've demonstrated willpower in or delayed gratification in? What causes people to fall off the wagon before things start getting good? And why give up when you can just keep on going? Thanks, everyone.